Cutting out car dealers, paying the same for good or bad internet, and the Miami climate change paradox. I'm David Brancaccio. We'll start with a challenge to the power of car dealerships versus the ability to buy direct from a manufacturer. Tesla will report quarterly results later today. The company recently entered into its second deal to open a store on tribal land. It's within the boundaries of New Mexico, where only licensed middlemen, dealers, can sell cars, but those laws don't extend to the pueblos of Nambe and Santa Ana. Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports.
When you enter tribal land, you're entering a new legal framework, says Elizabeth Hidalgo Reese at Stanford Law.
Generally, the tribe laws are going to apply, and you're leaving the basic assumption of state jurisdiction.
And just like other sovereigns, tribal nations sometimes try to create a regulatory environment that's friendlier to business than the next jurisdiction over.
This is tribes just doing the exact same thing that states do by trying to make it more hospitable.
With tax breaks or more flexible regulations. So what's in it for the tribes?
It's a huge boost to economic development.
Patrice Kunish, who founded the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Center for Indian Country Development, says these partnerships are nothing new. They've long brought jobs, commerce, and tax dollars to tribal communities. But Kunish says recent deals with big names like Tesla and Amazon show tribal nations are flexing their sovereign muscles. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Netflix results are in, and the company stopped bleeding subscribers, instead signing up 2.4 million new customers last quarter, way above forecast. The stock's up 13% in pre-market trading now. Think now of two broadband internet customers, different parts of town. One gets internet smooth and sweet. The other gets pokey service that makes remote schooling or watching movies a chore. Here's the thing. For several big providers, both customers are often paying the same monthly price for their internet. Journalists at the data-driven news site The Markup have been checking thousands of addresses in 38 cities. Here's where the not-as-good internet for the same price tends to show up.
Broadly, the neighborhoods that tended to get the worst deals were the neighborhoods of these cities that were lower income and less white and in historically redlined neighborhoods.
Aaron Sankin is an investigative reporter at The Markup.
So it really just kind of built on kind of, you know, generations of marginalization and inequitable infrastructure development in a lot of these neighborhoods.
Companies studied were Verizon, AT&T, Earthlink, and CenturyLink. Internet firms who responded to The Markup's reporting just being published this morning deny discrimination, question the methodology, and point to the Affordable Connectivity Program from the federal government that can help offset the internet bills for lower-income customers who apply but not speed up their internet.
It is a big annoyance and a big problem when people can't, you know, stream Netflix. But at the same time, especially with the pandemic, it's really shown how much of our day-to-day lives have been pushed online and how having affordable internet connectivity that meets all your needs is really crucial.
Sankin says if you search FCC broadband map, you can put in your address to see competing internet speeds on offer to your place. But for the faster services, you may not see that much competition. Markets after two strong days for stocks, S&P futures are up 0.5% now. The U.S. 10-year interest rate is up 4.1%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
As the planet heats, oceans are rising. This will affect Miami, yet real estate still running strong there. Marketplace's Amy Scott has spent the past 6 months looking at South Florida for the new season of our climate podcast that's out today. It's called How We Survive. Hi, Amy.
Hi, David.
So, Miami, let me guess, lots of reasons to do this story in Miami.
You're right. The city is actually considered the most vulnerable coastal city in the world to sea level rise. And yet, the real estate market there has not been acting like there's an existential threat. We'll see what happens with these higher mortgage rates, but, you know, home prices in Miami have just shot up more than 60% during the pandemic. And we wanted to understand, you know, what's going on there.
Strange dynamic. So give me a taste of what you found.
So people have flocked to Florida during the pandemic, and especially at the high end of the market, it seems that a lot of people aren't that worried about sea level rise. I talked to one real estate agent, Dina Goldentayer, who specializes in the ultra luxury market.
I definitely think that the timing of the issue does seem far off, whereas then people are thinking about things more closer in time, like my kids are graduating school, I'm going to be an empty nester, or I'm selling my company for $500 million and I would like to have Florida residency. You know, while I certainly don't want to downplay it, it's just not a question that I'm posed often.
But of course, most people in Miami aren't selling a company for $500 million. More than 60% of the population is considered poor or working poor in Miami. And we talked to several people who are already dealing with regular flooding, failing septic tanks. For them, the effects of climate change are already here, and they want to see solutions.
What kind of solutions are people talking about for a challenge this big?
Yeah, well, it tends to come down to sort of three stages: defend, accommodate, and retreat. So stage one, defend, is all about keeping the water out. Governments are doing things like elevating roads and buildings. Stage two, accommodate, is about learning to live with the water. So you might design buildings where the first floor can be flooded, but recover pretty quickly. But a lot of these solutions are really just buying time. And ultimately, we have to talk about stage three, retreat, which means essentially abandoning some of these risky areas, returning them to nature, and relocating large numbers of people.
How We Survive with Marketplace's Amy Scott. Season 2 of our climate podcast is out this morning. Amy, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.